This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. We have an amazing subject tonight. So if you came tonight, your great-grandmother must have davened well. You should be zoicha to hear what we're going to learn tonight. Okay, so we're continuing this Shiur Man Sefer Shemais, which is graciously sponsored by Dr. Zakim and Mishpachta, Lili Nishmas of Shloima Eliezer and Rabbi Yaakov Zakim, and Lili Nishmas of David ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyen, and Lili Nishmas Rivka Bas Tzvi HaLevi, and Eden Temenu Chasim, they should be Mlitzei Hashem for their whole family at Biyansko Al Tzedek. The Shiurim of Chodesh Shvat are sponsored by the Israeli family, Lili Nishmas Meir ben David, whose Yartzeit is Ches Shvat, and Lili Nishmas Yeshua ben Yechezkel, whose Yartzeit is Chav Tesh Shvat. Tonight's Shiur is sponsored by the Ruzhin and Ryabinsky family in honor of their friend's marriage, Rivka Ashkenazi, to David Mizrahi, both from Mexico, on Dalet Shvat. Tonight's year is also dedicated by my dear friend Reb Kenny Pinsauer, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Dina Bas David Chai HaKohen, who passed away this morning, Nesham Shavin Aliyah. She should be a Melitza Yishar for her whole family. Okay, we have an amazing topic tonight, Parshas Boy. Parshas Boy begins with the 8th Makkah. God said to Moshe, come to Parai. First time we have this lesson of come. Until now it's lech, go. That's unusual. What do you mean come to Parai? It should say go to Parai. Aren't you going there? When you go somewhere, you go there. Now I'm telling you chiddush now. Usually when you go somewhere, you go there, you don't come there. You come there after you got there, but you go there. In order to get somewhere, you need to go there. You ever hear that? I'm sure you never heard that before. But in order to get somewhere, you need to go there. When you've come, that means you've arrived. So really it should say Lech El Parai. But that's a side point. Why? Ki ani hechbadati es libai. Because I've hardened his heart, v'slev avadav, and the heart of his servants. L'man shisi oisaisai eila bekerbai. So that I could place my signs, these signs, in him. Ulman, and also that you could tesaper ba'ozne bincho ven mincha, you could relate in the ears of your sons and your grandsons, Esa sher hisalalti b'Mitzrayim, that I made a mockery over the Egyptians. Now this is the first Makkah where we have this expression that the Makkah is a mockery of the Egyptians. Why this expression that the Makkah is a mockery of the Egyptians? Ve'asoy soysaya sher samti bam, and drum roll, vidatem ki ani Hashem. You will know that I'm God. You say, okay, that doesn't sound to be very novel. Yeah, you better believe it is. Did you know that it has not yet said that any of the Makkos are for the Jewish people to know that Hashem is God? We never had that before. Did you know that it's specific to Parshas Boy? Not by Dam, not by Tzfardea, not by Kinim, not by any of the Makkos did it say that the purpose of the Makkah was that you, Klal Yisrael, should know that I am Hashem. Isn't that interesting that it waited till the 8th Makkah for Hashem to tell Moshe, tell the Jews, this is so you should know that I'm God. So what did it say until then? Ah, look at number 5. V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. Until now it was the Egyptians. So let's try to organize a number of things. First of all, for all you gematria lovers out there, now if let's say you have a bar mitzvah this week, or you have a graduation and you need to say a gematria, I'm not saying that what I'm about to tell you is the best gematria. This one is like, you know, a little bit simple. You know, this is like the ABCs of gematria. This is the first gematria that anyone ever learns. How many makos are in Parshas Boy? Let's see if you could figure out this gematria. You know, let's see if you can figure out. If you can calculate this guy gematria, if you can calculate this gematria, then, you know, you need to go back to kindergarten, right? Boy, the gematria of boy, beis, and aleph is 3. That's right, the Baal HaTurim says. There are 3 makos in this week's parsha. Okay, so that's like gematria 101. A little bit more sophisticated, Rav David Koyen brings in a sefer Mizmor LeDavid, Chelek Gimel, that Va'era begins Vav Aleph is 7, because there's seven makos in Va'era, and Ba'i is Gematria 3 because there are three makos in Ba'i. So here is question number one. This doesn't seem to be a logical breakdown. Why would we have seven in Va'era and three in Ba'i? Either have all of them in one parsha, all in the other parsha, or split it in half. Who here knows? Now that you know 2 plus 1, who knows what's half of 10? Come on, we have some accountants over here. You know? What's half of 10? You should break it down. 5 and 5. But what exactly is the understanding of this breakdown that we have 7 in Va'era and 3 in Ba'i? Asks Rav Tzadok HaKohen and the Pritzadik. He says in number 4, Gam Lahavin Lama Sidru Hashalosh Makos V'Achroinos B'Parsha Zu. Why arrange three of the last makos in this parsha? V'hivdiloi bein sheva makos rishonos leilu hashalosh, and it divides 7 in Va'era and 3 in Ba'i. Haloi davarhu. Good question, yeah? You're maskim? You agree? That's a good question. Why the breakdown 7 and 3? That's question number 1. Question number 2. What's the purpose of the makos? So if you remember, in the beginning of Va'era, we have the Dalad lashonos of Geula. V'hoitzesi, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. And then it says, v'lakachti eschem li la'am v'yusi lachem lachem. V'idatem ki ani Hashem. You Jews, you will know that I'm God. That means the ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is for the idea of Klal Yisrael. And yet, if you look at all the makos up until now, it always said, l'man teida, v'yadu Mitzrayim. Every time it said, Egypt should know. The Egyptians should know. Not until Makas Arba and Parshas Bo'i do we have for the first time that vidatem going on the Jewish people. If the ultimate purpose of the Makos is for the Yediyah of Klal Yisrael, then why did it wait until Makas Arba? It should have said this all the way in the beginning. So now we're beginning to learn that somehow the purpose of the first seven Makos was for the Yediyah of the Egyptians, and the final three is for the purpose of the Jewish people. But that's also requires our study. And question number 3. What was Paro's reaction to Makas Dam? Get lost. What was Paro's reaction to Tzfardeya? Get out of here. What was Paro's reaction to Kinim? Go fly a kite. Dever, go jump in the lake or in the Nile. You know why Paro didn't believe in God. He was in denial. Anyway, that was a joke. That was also on par with the Ba'i Gematria, right? It's a good one. I think it gets overlooked, that one. But Paroi did not humble himself, subdue himself, submit himself to the will of Hashem and to the request of Moshe until Makas Arba in this week's parasha. For the very first time, Paroi said, okay, L'chu ivdu es Hashem, miva miha halchem. Who's going? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, ben arenu v'skeinenu. Paroi said, no, l'chu no ha'gvarem. But at least he started to give in. And then Makas Choshech, Paroi says, l'chu ivdu es Hashem, rak tsoinchem uvekarchem yutzak. You guys could go, you leave your cattle here. Why did it take until Makas Arba? What was it about Makas Arba that Paroi started to give in to Moshe Rabbeinu? So basically, we have on the table three questions, or four, we'll call it four questions, because since, you know, you might want to review this Pesach time, and you're going to want to have four questions. So here are the four questions. Question number one, why are the parashas divided? 7 makos, 3 makos. Yeah, they should be all in one, or half and half. What's the inyan? Especially, you know, you have a detzach hadash bi'achav, usually Barad goes with Arba Choshek Makas B'chayres. Why is it that Parshas Boy is 3 Makas? You'll say because Boy is Gematria 3. No, but you know, if it would have had 4 Makas, it would have said a different word. So why are there 3 Makas in Parshas Boy? Question number 2. Why until now is V'yadu Mitzrayim, and then it comes to Makas Arba, it says... V'datem, you Klal Yisrael will know. Question number 3. Why did it take until Makas Arba for Paroi to start to humble himself to the request of Moshe Rabbeinu? And why is it, for the first time, it's Boy El Paroi? Okay. So really, I should have sent you a message today that you needed to listen to a different shir before this shir. But it's okay. You'll still get this shir. But maybe you go home tonight. I want you to be aware, at least, of the following principle, because we're taking it to the next level. Okay? We spoke about this many years ago, and it's in the Sefer on Pesach, and it's in the Haggadah in English, that the 10 makos that Hashem brought on the Mitzrayim correspond to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. Ba'asara ma'amorais nivra olam. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah asks, what do you mean with 10 statements God created the world? It only says Vayomer 9 times. So the Gemara says, Bereishis nami mamarhu. And the basic idea, this comes from the Tzrar Hamar of Rabbi Avram Saba. It's further elucidated by the Maral and by the Nesivas HaMishpat and by Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac Chaver. Pari was a heretic. He did not believe God created the world with 10 statements. So the Rebbe Hashem says, you don't believe I created the world with 10 statements? Watch this. You don't believe that that I give man food? The last statement of creation is Hashem gave man food. You don't believe I give man food and he ingests it and digests it and recomposes it to become his blood? Look, I have control over blood. Makas dam. Basically, the way the Maharal learns, the first makah authenticated the last statement of creation. You don't believe I create beginnings, Bereishis Bara Elokim? Look at my control over the beginning with makas b'chayrais. So the 10 makos affirm, authenticate the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. Over the years, we've shown remarkable parallels between the makah and the statement. I'll give you two examples. One we've spoken about in the past, and one is a chiddush that over the years developed. First of all, we know by the makah, by the creation of the trees. Remember this? By the creation of the trees, God said to the trees, that God says to the tree, produce fruit, taste like fruit. But we all know, it was ve'etz oisepri. The tree produced fruit, it didn't taste like fruit. Lo and behold, we come to Makas Arbe. God tells the grass, the locust, to eat the tree. And if you look in the psukim, they didn't eat the tree. They only ate the fruit. We have recalcitrant grasshoppers over here. What's going on over here? Right? These locusts are, they're not locusts. One time I said grasshopper, and I received severe condemnation through email. So I accept the criticism. It's not grasshoppers, I know. They're locusts. But for the sake of better understanding of the tzibur, if we call it grasshopper, you'll be meichomi. But the locust, also, you look in the parasha, Hashem said, eat the tree. It didn't eat the tree. It ate the fruit. Because since it's reaffirming the creation of the trees, it exactly paralleled. So I want to tell you a chiddush that came out. Makas barad, Rashi says, ve'esh misla kachas b'soicha barad. There was a fire in the hail. So why do we, Rashi says, it was a miracle within a miracle. Why did Hashem make a miracle within the miracle? So Maral says that the Makah of Barad was reaffirming the creation of the Rakia. What's the Rakia? The Shamayim. What is the Shamayim made out of? Eish Umayim. So since the heavens are made of fire and water, to reaffirm the creation of the heavens, God again made that very same miracle of fire and water coming together. Okay, and if you study the makos, you'll see that there's an uncanny parallel between the makah and the statement of creation. That was, we'll call it, you know, makah 1.0. But now we're on to the next level, okay? Because the Gemara in Chagiga says, God created the world, the Gemara says, with 10 things. B'chachma, b'tfuna, b'das. The Marsha says these 10 things sound very similar to the 10 spheres. And the Marsha, as we're going to see, says the 10 spheres are connected to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. So now, the topic that we're going to speak about today is somewhat mystical. We'll call it somewhat Kabbalistic. And I think it's worthwhile just to get the words, okay?
When you say spheros, what do you mean by spheros?
Okay, that's what I'm going to try to explain that, okay? We encounter, let's say, when Sfiras HaOmer, yeah, there some people say a tefillah afterwards, where we speak about seven of the Sfirais. But there are 10 Sfirais. Let's explain what that means. The 10 Sfirais in English are 10 mystical emanations of God, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the universe through the mechanism of 10 spheres or 10 emanations from which sustenance and influence comes from the Almighty and ultimately reaches this world. It goes through 10 pipes. Realities. Call it pipes, call it mediums, call it emanations. This is the concept of the 10 spheres. We allude to it every day, we at least allude to seven of them. And the ones that we speak about are L'cha Hashem HaGedula, which is Chesed, V'HaGevura, which is Gevura, V'HaTiferes, V'HaNetzach, V'HaHoid, Ki Choyl Bashamayim Uva'aretz, Choyl is Yisoid, L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha is Malchus. Basically, there's an idea, and this is what the Talmud Devara expresses and explains, that it is the job of a human being to emulate in image the tsura of the Almighty. And the Almighty's image, not his chas v'sham physical image, but the form with which he allows his influence to reach us is in the form of 10 spheres. This is not a physical concept. God is, of course, non-corporeal, and he has no but there are 10 manifestations of divine influence with which he runs the world. The highest being Kesar or Das. The highest sphere is Kesar or Das. Then you have Chachma, and then you have Bina. And then Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, Malchus. Okay? Malchus is the lowest one. That is the one from which influence reaches us. There are 10 spheres. The 10 spheres, the Marsha says, are synonymous with the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. Okay? So you may encounter in various tefillos, the spheres, you'll see that, let's say, Avraham is associated with Chesed and Yitzchak with Gevura and Yaakov with Tiferes. And Moshe Rabbeinu is Netzach, Aaron is Hoid, Yosef HaTzadik is Yisoid, and of course David is Malchus. So you have three spheres on high, so to speak, the Roish, and the rest of the system are seven. So you're already beginning to see that there are sort of, so to speak, two groupings of the spheres. There's a group of Keser, Chachma, and Bina, Das, Chachma, Bina, three. And there's a grouping of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yisoid, Malchus. The Yalkut Ruveni brings that the Makgois correspond to the Sfirois first to last. So Dam corresponds to Malchus. And you should have the sheets. And if you don't have the sheets, it's because you didn't sign up to the email. And if you didn't sign up to the email, it's because you didn't go to rabbidg.com and press the subscribe button. That's all it's going to take. That's all you need to do. Or you could figure that by me saying this, you're just registering all the words by heart, and you'll memorize everything I say. That's another option. But the smarter option is just press the big red subscribe button. This way you get the sheet to your inbox. Okay, so the Yalkut Ruveni brings, and the source of this is one of the commentaries of the Rambam Mipano, that the 10 Makos correspond to the 10 Sfirois. Dam corresponds to Malchus. And if you look on your chart, Dam is Malchus, Sephardea is Yesoid. By the way, some suggest, you know, that Sephardea, what did they do? They jumped into the fire. So Sephardea corresponds to Yesoid. Yesoid is the Kedusha. So you see, for Kedusha, you gotta go into the fire. You gotta give it up. You have to purify yourself for Kedusha. Okay, and so on and so forth. Until Makas Bechoyrois, which is the Rishis, corresponds to the head Sfira, which is Kesar. So there's a Sefer called Minchas Eliyahu. Minchas Eliyahu is written by Rabbi Yoach Kohen of Izmir, the Baal Shevet Musar. And he explains, by the way, this is going to be a very deep shir. So the Baal Shevet Musar explains how each Makkah corresponds to each Sfira. So for many years already, we've explained how the Makkahs correspond to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. But what are we supposed to do? Just stay there? We're supposed to stay here forever? You got to keep on, building. So the Shevet Musar explains how the 10 Makkahs correspond to the 10 Sfirais. So let's try to get some of his approach. Okay, so this is the Sefer Minchas Eliyahu. The Midah of Malchus. Malchus is the lowest Sfira. So basically God is feeding us through the medium, the pipeline, the emanation of Malchus. He's feeding us. That's what you eat for supper tonight. Who's going to volunteer? Nobody? Nobody eats here. What do you eat?
Chicken.
Chicken, was it good?
Yeah.
You put in ketchup?
No.
No sauces?
Just fried.
What? Fried?
Yeah.
Well, you had some flakes on it?
Huh?
Flakes? Like corn flakes on it? Oh, very good. What was the side?
String beans.
String beans. And what do you drink?
Water.
Water. Very nice. That's a good balanced meal. Where do you get the chicken from? It came down through Malchus. Malchus is the lowest sphera. Hashem provided you that meal through the pipeline of Malchus. Now, Hashem is mezen. Hashem is mefarnesas through the pipeline of Malchus. That corresponds to Dam. Dam is our body. Dam is our guf. Dam is our nefesh. So Hashem, the Mitzriim were trying to sort of deny Hashem's control over the sphera of Malchus, his ability to provide food for us. So Hashem says, you don't think I provide food? Look what I do to the water. It turns to blood. So that's the first Makkah. Let's move on to... Oh, and then he says another interesting idea. Why were the Mitzvim punished with Dam? The Medrash says, because they didn't allow us to go, the Jewish women, to go to the mikvah. And because they were mevatel, the Neshe Yisrael, from going to the mikvah, so then Hashem wanted to uphold Malchus. Malchus is also Lasha Nekeva. It's one of the spheres which is Nekeva. Malchus. Okay. Next one, Sephardeah. Sephardeah corresponds to Yisoid. Now, interesting, you might not have known this. You know what the frogs did? They went ahead and they castrated the Egyptians. Okay? Now, this is not for a general audience, but that's what the Tzfardeah did. So, the Sirus of the Tzfardeah corresponds to the the sphere of Yisoid. Yisoid is the Kedusha of the Bris Milah. So, this is the Tzfardeah sort of attack them in this Inyan. Kinim. Must have. Then he wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah, apparently that they had such a practice.
Women knew that they had to.
Even Lavan didn't go near Rachel because she was an Ida, right? So there you see that there was an awareness of this concept. Actually, Rabbeinu Bachai says that it came about as a result of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Okay, now listen to this. Why were they punished with lice? So the Medrash says, because they made us sweep the garbage and the dung and the dust in the streets. So when a person is sweeping the streets, so then it's very undignified. And it ruins a person's... it ruins the person's shine, so to speak, and his glory and his hoid. So that's why kinim corresponds to the sphera of hoid. Arayv, Chazal say that they made us trap bears and lions, and it's very hard to be minatseach over a bear and a lion. Eitan, you ever try to catch a bear or a lion? It's not an easy animal to catch. It's very hard to be minatseach over them. Therefore, it corresponds to the sphera of netzach. Okay, the midah of Tiferes. Tiferes is the middle, is called the middle of the spheroids. It's like the heart of the body. And from there, it spreads out to the other midas. So Dever, which was a pestilence, began in one limb and spread out to the other limbs. Shchin corresponds to Gevura. The mid of Gevura is Eish. And the Shchin was like burning, fiery boils. Barad corresponds to Chesed. Now, this is very interesting. The Egyptians wanted to afflict us with Midas Hadin. So really, we should have been getting Chesed, and they afflicted us with Midas Hadin. So too the Barad. On the outside was Mayim, which is Chesed, but on the inside was the Eish, which was they were being affected by the Midah of Din. Arbe is Bina, understanding. The Arbe attacked the produce, the bread. Without bread, bread allows you to think. That's why people like to drink coffee in the morning, so that their brain doesn't turn on until many, many hours into the day. But the Gemara says you need to have bread in the morning. Bread allows the mind to think. So Arbe corresponds to Bina. Okay? Then you have Choshech is darkness, corresponding to Chachma. V'yisroin ha'ar min ha'choshech, that's yisroin ha'chacham me ha'kesil. Wisdom is associated with light. So they were attacking, so to speak, God's dominion over the sphera of Chachma, so Hashem turned out the lights. Then, what? Hava nischakmalai. So they were using Chachma against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned out the light. And then finally, Keser, which is the Rashis of all the spheroids, the Ribbono Shel Olam demonstrated his control over the Rashis by Makas B'chayrois. But as we mentioned, friends, there is a very, the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world are basically synonymous with the 10 spheroids. Now, what does this mean exactly? It's that the Mitzrim, by challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over the spheroids, they were maintaining the power of the sphera letumah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to raise us up level after level after level. You see, the Mitzrim attacked the 10 spheroids. In other words, they attacked HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over the 10 spheroids, one madrega after another after another. So Hashem, by bringing Makas Dam, He demonstrated that the sphera of Malchus, which is the lowest sphera, would be regained and reclaimed by the Jewish people. Hashem brought us up sphera after sphera after sphera until by Makas B'chayrois we were on the Madrega of Keser. Okay? So that's the general approach of the Makos as advanced by the Yalkut Ruveni and by the Baal Shevet Moser. Comes Rav Tzedek HaKohen in many Mekoymos, in Parshas Va'era, in Parshas Boy, in Ois Aleph, in Parshas Boy, in Ois Reis. By the way, look at number 12 in Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye says precisely what we're learning, that the Seder of the Makos, the Tzach Adash B'Achav, is the same order of the Sphirois, from below to above, because blood is connected to Midas HaMalchus, and likewise all of them. By the way, tonight's shir is primarily based on the beautiful Sefer Mizmar LeDavid, of Rav David Kohen, the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron, in the third volume. Actually, I remember many years ago, when the first volume came out, and my good friend Rav Moshe Gruen was the Oirech and the Koisev of these volumes, and that's where I got the first idea of that the Makos correspond to the Asara Ma'amorah Shenivra Ha'olam. And I remember I called him up a few times, because in the world of the Maral, he says it goes backward. In other words, Dam corresponds to the last statement of creation, and Makas B'chayrois corresponds to the first statement of creation. But the middle ones are not exactly in order. So I remember calling up Moshe Gruen to ask Rav David Kohen that it doesn't quite go in order, and he basically, Rav David Kohen answered that the order is determined by the bookends. It doesn't have to go exactly in order. And at the time, I was told that Rav David Kohen is now giving shir on how the spheroids correspond to the makos. So this was almost 10 years ago. But now we were 10 years later, so now the shirim he gave 10 years ago, it's now in print. You know, so now we're up to volume 3. But in any event, Rav David Kohen quotes the Prit Tzaddik, that whenever you see the number 10, you could be sure that it's connected and associated with the 10 Sfirois. And the Makos, Ribbono Shel Olam, was bringing us up level after level after level in order to reclaim our Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over these Sfirois. But Rav David Kohen says, and look at number 15, that the last three Makos correspond to the highest three Sfirois. And this is the reason why, friends, the breakdown of the Makos are seven in Parshas Va'era and three in Parshas Bo'i. Because the seven in Va'era, the seven Makos in Va'era, correspond to the seven lower Sfirois. Those are the ones that, so to speak, we deal with and we could comprehend and we could assimilate in our minds, but the three highest ones are, so to speak, above and beyond full comprehension, and therefore they're reserved to Parshas Bo'i. And then the Reb Tzaddik HaKohen says that in order to get access to them, we had to really reclaim them. So I'm going to give you a mashal. If you take my thing, so then it depends where you're holding it. If you have it in your hand, I could get up and I could come over to you and I could try to pull it away from you. But what if you swallow it and I need it? So I don't know what we're going to have to do. I'm going to have to get in there. I need it back. So we're going to have to... So Reb Tzaddik HaKohen says, the last three Sfirois, the highest three levels, in order to access it, we had to go like into the deepest recesses of the heart and soul of Paroi. And that's why, finally, by Makas Arba, it says, Boy El Paroi. It wasn't enough to go. We had to like come into him because we had to reclaim these three spheres. Now, this is pretty this is as advanced as we've ever gone, but I think we'll try to get the words at least. Okay, so now we're understanding at least a system of why you have seven makos in Parshas Va'era and three makos in Parshas Bo'i, because the makos correspond to the system of the spheroids, where you have the seven lower spheroids. They correspond to the first seven makos, and the three highest spheroids correspond to the three last makos. What is the difference exactly between the bottom seven spheroids and the top three spheroids? Well, says Rav David Kohen, I thought you might ask that question. No, he doesn't quite say it like that, but... And now he introduces two different hanhagos of Hashem. And the source of this is the Ramchal Sefer, Pischei Chachma Vadas, explained by Reb Chaim Friedlander, one of the great experts in the works of the Ramchal. And that basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two orders of operation. There's something called Erech Anpin, and there's something called Ze'er Anpin. Now maybe these words sound somewhat familiar. You're associating it with tuna fish and egg salad. Because Shalashu this time, it sounds like some words that sometimes we say, Ze'er Anpin. So okay, I think you're barking up the right tree. But Erech Anpin and Ze'er Anpin are basically code words for two types of Hanhagos of Hashem. The Hanhaga that we're most familiar with is called Hanhagas HaMishpat. Hanhagas HaMishpat is justice. You do a mitzvah, you're healthy. You do mitzvahs, you live long. You do mitzvahs, you learn Torah, you have a good life. You don't do things right, things are not good. That's Hanhagas HaMishpat. That's how, so to speak, we expect the world to run. That is one Hanhaga of Hashem. It's called Hanhagas HaMishpat. Hanhagas HaMishpat is Ze'er Anpin. But there is a Hanhaga called Hanhagas HaYichud. What's Hanhagas HaYichud?
Unity.
It's not reward and punishment. What?
Unity.
Yeah, Hanhagas HaYichud. Hanhagas HaYichud is a mode of operation of God that brings creation to its ultimate goal, irrespective of the actions of mankind. Sometimes you wonder, wait a second, how exactly is Mashiach going to come? Is Hashem waiting for everyone to get their act together? Is the world in the right direction? I have a question. Let's say the United States of America and its morals and values over the last 50 years, are they in the right direction or the wrong direction? You know, from the time of the founding fathers, you know, anything the country stood for that was good, yeah, they tore down those, you know, statues already. So, is the country headed in the right direction? Is the world headed in the right direction? So how is the world supposed to get to its end goal? The answer is there's a mode of conduct, of a mode of operation of Hashem called Hanhagas Hayichad, where He will just bring the world to its end goal, irrespective of the actions of man. That is a Hanhaga above and beyond regular human comprehension. That is what is called the mode of operation of Olam Haba, the world to come. The Gemara says in Psachim, on the Pasuk, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, Bayom ha'hu yih Hashem echad, on that day God will be one. And the Gemara asks, what, only on that day He'll be one? Now He's not one? And the Gemara says, no, the world to come is not like this world. This world today, I got a call, someone had a baby girl. I also got a call that somebody's mother passed away. So on good tidings, you make hatoiv ametiv. On bad tidings, you say dayin ha'emes. In the world to come, everything will be good. Rav David Cohen explains, this is deep stuff tonight. Okay, so I'm saying words. It's worthwhile to hear the systems, let's call it. It's good to know the systems. The system of the world to come is hanhagas hayichad. It's not necessarily reward, punishment, justice. It's God acting irrespective of the relative actions of man. That's Hanhagas Hayichud. The Hanhaga of this world is Hanhagas HaMishpat. But the first seven Sfirois are Hanhagas HaMishpat. Kesar, Chachma, Bina is Hanhagas Hayichad. The last... Ze'er Anpin is Hanhagas HaMishpat. Erech Anpin is Hanhagas Hayichad. Sure. So Erech Anpin, the Hanhagas Hayichad are the top three spheroids. The top three spheroids are God's mode of operation, of acting and bringing the world to its end goal, irrespective of the actions of man. Because you have to understand, God's reality is not affected by man's actions. The way God manifests to us is affected by man's actions. We don't change God's reality, but our actions affect the way Hashem is manifest to us. Therefore, Rabbi Isai, the top three spheroids are well above and beyond the comprehension of the Mitzrayim.
Why would he three? Why not just the top one, the number one? You know,
why three?
Yeah.
It's a major subject. How Kesar, Chachma, and Das... how Kesar, Chachma, and Bina work. How these three spheroids work. But these three are above and beyond the comprehension of the Mitzrayim. The bottom seven are the spheres with which God interacts with this world. That was within Paro's grasp to understand. Parshas Va'era, the first seven Makos, were demonstrating to Paro God's dominion over the bottom seven spheres with which He interacts with this world. That is called Ze'er Anpin Hanhagas HaMishpat. That was possible for Paro to understand. So by the seven bottom spheres and the seven first Makos, it says, V'yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. Those were only for Egypt to know. It was for Klal Yisrael also, but it was specifically for the Egyptians because that's something they were able to comprehend.
But also in Makinim to say it's by Makinim.
Yeah, but it... Okay, but in terms of the Yediyah was Dafka for the Mitzrayim. We come to the Makkah of Arba, and the Makkah of Arba is already corresponding to Bina, and Bina as the top three spheroids. And this is already God's ability to, so to speak, say that the actions of man will not change the course of how I will change history. And for the very first time, Pare said, Huh? What's that? I don't get that. God could operate and not be affected by man's actions? I was now trained in the seven spheroids and the hanhaga of Ze'er Anpin. I don't understand that. That is what humbled Paroi by Makas Arba. And Paroi said, there's a system of how God works that's above and beyond my comprehension. For the very first time, Paroi says, all right, Moshe, miva miha hochem, I give up. This is not a God that I'm able to comprehend. This is what humbled Paroi. Now for the first time, friends, Hashem says, okay, we leave the Egyptians behind. This is not something they could understand. This is not something they could comprehend. For the very first time, by Makas Arba, what does it say? Vidatem. This is for Klal Yisrael. The Yediyah that the Ribbono Shel Olam could operate the world, Behanhagas Hayichud, is something Klal Yisrael could understand. I want to give you the following mashal. Okay? And this is what the Ramchal writes about in Das Tevunais. God simultaneously operates the world through Hanhagas HaYichud and Hanhagas HaMishpat. This is very clear and this is important to know. Okay? We know that ultimately there'll be a day that all of mankind recognizes Hashem and Hashem will bring the world to V'yayosu kulam agoda achas lasos v'tzayin chablev of shalem and v'haya Hashem l'melech al kala aretz. So God is bringing the world to its ultimate rectification. Question. Do I have free choice? Yeah. Do you have free choice? Yeah. Does he have free choice? Yeah. So if we all have free choice, how exactly is God going to bring the world to its ultimate completion if every individual has free choice? And if I choose right, I'm going to be rewarded. If I choose wrong, I'm going to be punished. So then, how is the world moving to its ultimate rectification? So Ramchal writes that God has the control that even though for each individual Hashem is dealing with each one of us, behanhagas hamishpat, that if we do what's right, we're rewarded. If we do what's wrong, we're punished. God could still at the same time be bringing the whole world to its ultimate completion. So that means simultaneously. So the analogy I like to use is the earth rotating or is the earth revolving? Do you know what those words mean? Rotating means, you know, you have a ball, it's rotating on its axis. Or is it revolving around the sun? Which one is it doing? Doing both. So while it's rotating, it's also revolving around the sun. So if this is the sun, and this is the earth, while the earth is rotating on its axis, it's also revolving around the sun. So while HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with every individual and the world, behanhagas hamishpat, and we all have free choice, he's simultaneously bringing the world to its ultimate completion. Alright, so how many secrets of the universe can we discuss in one shir? But the bottom line is, let's get the system. The system is that the purpose of the Makos was to reaffirm the world being created with 10 statements, but the 10 statements with which the world was created is predicated on 10 mystical emanations that are called the 10 spheroids, which are Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yisoid, Malchus. Says Reb David Kain, the bottom 7 spheroids are Ze'er, Anpin, Hanhagas HaMishpat, something that humanity can comprehend. Hanhagas HaYichud, that is something reserved. Only the Jewish people could comprehend this idea that simultaneous to the operation of Hanhagas HaMishpat, there's something called Hanhagas HaYichud. Therefore, we get now the breakdown of Boy. Boy is Gematria 3. That's all you need to know. If you want to know, I'm walking out of here, what can I take with me? Boy is Gematria 3. Va'era Vav Aleph is 7. What does that represent? 3 spheroids, 7 spheroids. You can't break it down 5 and 5. There are two groupings over here. That's why in Parshas Va'era is V'yadu Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim could comprehend the spheres with which God interacts with this world in a mode which is understandable to man. But the Makos of Arba, Choshech, Makos B'choros, that's Hanhogas HaYichud, that's something which is reserved for the understanding of the Jewish people. Therefore, until Parsha in Va'era, it's V'yadu Mitzrayim. But as the Ribbono Shel Olam said in the beginning of the Makos, the ultimate purpose of the Makos are V'datem, that you should know, that will be achieved through the final three Makos, of which you'll observe something called Hanhogas HaYichud. That is why for the first time in this week's Parsha, Paroi humbles himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Miva miha holchem. He now recognizes that there's a God who transcends his limited understanding. And therefore, Rav David Kohen says, by Makos Arba is the first time where we have the word Hisalalti. Hisalalti is like laughter. We know that the Chizkuni says Hisalalti is a lashon of tzchoik and laag. We know that the end of days is called Oz Yimale Tzchoik Pinu Hayinu Kechomim. That was the madrig of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was tzachak. Laughter is, so to speak, a reaction of the end of days, when we realize, you see, what's Hanhagas HaYichud? Hanhagas HaYichud is that everything that happens in the world, whether it's apparent good or apparent bad, is really, in essence, the good of Hashem bringing the world to its ultimate goal. What's laughter? Laughter is, really? That's so funny. I never would have realized that. You know, what's a joke? A joke is, really? I missed that. Tzchoik is something which is, so to speak, the reaction reserved for the end of days, that only the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yoshev Bashamayim, Yitzchak Hashem Yilag Lamai. So therefore, Makos Arba, which was revealing, so to speak, a hanhaga of the Achras Hayomim, is a lashon of Es Asher Hisalalti B'Mitzrayim. So I will tell you that tonight's shir was like a different level. And this won't be a typical style, but I couldn't help myself, you know. So, I mean, we had to explain, you know, why the breakdown of Va'era and Bo'i.
By the way, if you want to see the seder of the atom, the diamond of the Ezer's field, go to the Great Synagogue of Jerusalem.
Yeah, look, in many of the Sfarim, you have a diagram. That the top three spheroids are the head, Chachma Bina Vadas is the head, and the rest of it is Betsuras Haguf. But this gives you at least a system to understand. Va'era is dedicated to V'yadu Mitzrayim, the seven spheroids with which Hashem interacts with this world. Those spheroids, Paroi was still stubborn toward. Once he came to the 8th, 9th, and 10th Makkah, corresponding to the top three spheroids, Paroi had a little hachna. Paroi realized there's a system above and beyond his comprehension. This system is Vidatem. This was reserved for the Jewish people. And regarding this Makkah, we have Es Asher Hisalalti. Therefore, Parshas Bo'i, Gematria 3, the top three spheroids. And finally, we're doing things a little out of order tonight, but I hope you mark down on your calendar March 3rd to March 5th, the first ever Mechon Magid Rakia convention in Florida. You're all cordially invited, March 3rd to March 5th. And you could join us February 17th to the 22nd in Italy, in the footsteps of the Chida. If anybody wants to join, you could sign up now. Have a great night, everyone. Brach v'hatzlacha, kol tov.
By the way,
you've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.